turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives Live. We're here with Ashley Burgess at KLIF 570, as well as on iHeartRadio. You remember, all you have to do is go to www.iheart.com, click in KLIF, and there you go. We're here live on Perspectives. You know, we've been talking about buyer's remorse and about changer's remorse and about how, I know that some people say, Ashley, what is changer's remorse? Well, changer's remorse, it's a good question. You asked that too, by the way. And I know that was kind of funny, since I asked the question and acted like you asked it. But I'm glad you asked. You know, changer's remorse is really that feeling of remorse or hesitation after making a big change, right? After making that big change in our life. And, you know, sometimes the situation that you changed might have been bad. And so you ask, why should I have to mourn it? Well, you know, I feel like when you feel remorse about something, especially something bad in your life, you gotta feel like you gotta get rid of it. You gotta figure out how to change it. And you win the daily double when you're playing the lightning round. When you're thinking about, you want to hold your noodle for this one. It's about the concept about we have difficulty seeing what needs to be changed. Because when we're changing it, or we're dealing with it, or we've dealt with it for so long, we've kept it around for so long that it's so comfortable and so normal, and we're so used to it, right? That we don't even know that it needs to be changed. I mean, when something is so comfortable and so normal, and it seems like you've had it around for your entire life, and you probably have because you were probably raised around it, you know what? It can feel normal, and it doesn't seem like it needs to be changed. And it's not until you start changing your own self, and you start realizing what's valuable to you, and you start making your own feelings and your own changes, that's when you start realizing, wow, I don't know about this. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't make me feel right. This person's actions or attitudes is not congruent with me. Because when I'm around them, I feel bad. I feel depressed, or I feel hurt, or I feel, you know, whatever it is. When that continuously over and over and over again, you understand that eventually you're going to have to change that. And by making that change, you're not only standing up for yourself in that situation, you're changing what you accept is your reality. So if you're used to abuse, if you're used to anger, if you're used to people being physically or mentally abusive, or even on a smaller level, if you're used to like passive-aggressive attitude or aggressive attitudes around you, or people that don't care, or people that just don't care. If you're used to that in your life, if people don't call you or they don't care how you're doing, you're going to be used to it. But once you finally step up to the plate and say, you know what, I don't like this. This isn't what I'm about. I give, but I'm not getting anything back. I'm going to make a change. So then you're going to have to go through that change, and then you're going to eventually have to mourn that, because what you're wanting to go for is something you've never really had in your whole life. It's something new. So joining me tonight on the phone is Dr. Mario Martinez. Dr. Martinez is a pioneering neuropsychologist and a best-selling author of The Mind-Body Code. You know, he lectures around the world on how cultural beliefs affect health and longevity. You know, he's also the founder of the biocognitive science, and he's working in the intersection of culture, psychology, wellness, and longevity. Wonderful to have you on this evening, Dr. Mario Martinez. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. So go on and tell us a little bit about biocognitive science. Tell us a little bit about what that means.
Well, briefly, what it means is that mind and body are connected, and the mind can affect the body. But what affects the mind, and what affects the mind is the culture. We live in a culture, and it's belief systems that we share, and those belief systems are incorporated into the body, and they actually create biology.
Okay, that's awesome. So that makes total sense. So this goes completely on lines what we're talking about this evening, because, you know, I've been talking about how when people are, you know, surrounded environmentally, when they're brought up with certain beliefs, it changes the way that you look at, you know, your outlook on life. And so sometimes when we start making our own decisions, or maybe changing our beliefs, or making, you know, kind of like easy decisions, saying, you know, I don't really accept this in my life, it can be hard to kind of get past that initial situation. But once you make the change, it can also be a little scary after. But once you continue to do this, you're on the road to kind of a different life.
Yes, and what I do is I try to bring anthropology into neuroscience, and there's a great concept in anthropology called hegemony, and what it means is that you incorporate a belief system so implicitly that you don't even know that there's another reality. So you live out that reality as if it were that the reality, rather than just a reality that was imposed on you by the cultural history that you were exposed to.
I like that. So you create your own reality.
Yes, and based on your cultural beliefs and the culture that you come from. And I'll give you a real simple example. In Peru, they consider the hot flashes. They call it bochorno, which is a word for shame. And we know now that the immune system responds to shame with inflammation. It causes inflammation. So the women in Peru, when they have the hot flashes, they have more inflammation than women in Japan who consider the hot flashes moving into the second spring or a place of wisdom for the woman. So you see, the culture shapes the biology.
Wow. So in one case, somebody feels shameful and feels even worse about having what they have. And in the other case, somebody feels fruitful and feels even better about the situation.
Yes, and they have less inflammation in the body. So you see, it's a correlate that the body responds to the culture rather than the other way around.
That's awesome. I mean, and that's true. It's like our beliefs can really dictate a lot of things. Like, simply put, I like that, what you said. And also, it's like even day-to-day our thoughts. I mean, if we believe that we're not, if you believe inside your body that you're not worth it, you're not worthy, then you're never going to be worthy.
Yes, and I think that unfortunately, a lot of the New Age sciences that, not even science, but, you know, books that they tell you, have good thoughts and everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work, because if you have a belief system of unworthiness, you could tell yourself all day that you're a good person and your biology isn't going to buy it, and you're going to continue to sabotage yourself.
Explain that a little bit more.
Well, what happens is that we build a worthiness based on what we're told about ourselves. For example, if you're shamed as a child, you're going to have an unworthiness. You're going to have an unworthiness about you that no matter what you do in your life, no matter what you accomplish, is not enough, because the framework, the belief system that you have is that you're unworthy. So therefore, if you tell yourself that you're worthy, if you see things that are worthy, if you see, for example, rock stars and people that are loved by millions, some are self-destructive because they don't believe it. The information that comes in, it's like, yes, a lot of people love me, but if they really knew who I am, they wouldn't really love me. So you see, it's a belief system that you carry independent of the feedback that you get.
I understand that. That's interesting. We were just talking about Justin Bieber earlier in the first segment. You know, I also wondered about this, you know, because I always think about how family, you know, you're raised by whoever, if it was your mom, your dad, your grandparents, if you were adopted, whatever. And sometimes, you know, you can have like a blind side to something. So let's say like your family was never there. They were really absent. They spent very minimal time with you. You could have a blind side to that situation in the future. So if somebody's around in your life and they seem to be absent a lot, you'll either have a blind side to that, just kind of accept it, or you might get very angry about it.
Well, yeah, what happens in that case, there are three archetypal wounds in my theory, but that wound is abandonment. What happens is that since you learn that abandonment from somebody that you love, you entangle abandonment with love, and the only way that you can love or be loved is by abandonment. This is why people will say, I've been married three times and I've been abandoned three times. Well, what happens is you learn a language and you speak it fluently, and that's all you can do. So what we try to do in biocognition is to untangle the wound from the love, so the love can be pristine rather than entangle with the wound.
Yeah, so exactly. So what he's saying, guys, is like, if you're always equating abandonment or pain with what is love, then you're going to constantly get abandonment, or you're going to constantly get pain. You're never going to get like what really love is.
Of course, but you know, a lot of people say, no, but I really want to be loved, but I really want people to love me, but they don't realize it's that what you were saying is that blind spot. They don't realize that what they're speaking is abandonment along with love, rather than love without abandonment. So what they do is they look for situations where they can abandon or be abandoned, even though intellectually they understand that it's not in their best interest.
I like that. I was also thinking about the other day about how a lot of times we can be snowed, you know, to a situation. Like, for example, let's say, for example, like somebody's father maybe was absent a lot and wasn't around, and so sometimes you might be snowed or kind of have a blind side to people that might be passive aggressive, not because the father or the entity was passive aggressive, but because of that passive situation, you don't even see the aggression of those other people until it's kind of too late, because you're kind of coping, you're having these coping skills as well.
Yes, because what you learn is to speak intimacy with a component of abandonment. And in fact, if you have that language and you don't see abandonment, you think you're not being loved. I've had patients who have told me, I'm wondering if my husband is having an affair because he hasn't beaten me up in 3 months. See, it's a language.
Wow.
Excuse.
So what's your advice on, you know, making this change of basically, you know, resurrecting somebody, or actually not resurrecting, even creating and helping them actually co-create their definition of love without, and you know, non-smattered with all this other disarray?
Well, it's not easy because it's not an intellectual process. And not like, for example, if it were just intellectual, you could tell an addict, look, you're killing yourself with this cocaine. Why are you doing that? And the person would say, oh, you're right, and I'll stop. It doesn't work that way. It's an intimate language that the person learns. Well, we've developed some techniques, and as you mentioned in my Mind Body Code CD, I teach these concepts to how to really break away, not just intellectually, but in an existential way. And one of the ways to do it is that you have to change your worthiness, your sense of worthiness. If your worthiness is low, then no amount of feedback will let you know that you're worthy. Why? Because you learned that not intellectually. You didn't learn to be shamed or abandoned or betrayed intellectually. You learned it experientially. You were able to feel the pain. And the way to do that is with some contemplative methods or deep relaxation methods that take you back to the place and recontextualize. They reconstruct your concept of what the wound is. And then there's some healing fields. I call them healing fields, which is, for example, if you have abandonment, then you can learn a consciousness of commitment. If you have shame, you can learn a consciousness of honor. Or betrayal, you can learn a consciousness of loyalty. But that's done with, it's a complex process, but it doesn't take years of psychoanalysis. It's a fairly quick way to deal with it because you're using the right tools.
Awesome. Okay, well, we got to talk about more of that later on here in the hour. We're actually going to take a break here, and I want to keep it on 570 KLIF, so keep it on the dial. You want to keep it on iHeartRadio, and we'll return with a new episode of the Perspectives Pulse, as well as Dr. Mario and I will be talking a little bit more about this, and then we'll be talking about next week's show as well. So stay tuned, keep it on 570, and guess what? You got it. I'll be back in two shakes.
Spring is about renewal, and that includes your skin. Refresh yourself and look your best with Skintastic's Pre-Summer Solution Specials. Is your skin looking and feeling a bit dull? The elements are harsh on our delicate skin, and the Texas dry heat takes its toll on our complexion, resulting in fine lines and wrinkles. Do you have large pores or acne scarring? Skintastic has the solution. Erase fine lines and wrinkles, reduce acne scarring and large pores, and look fresh with a DOT CO2 laser treatment. For a limited time, you can receive a complimentary treatment of your neck area when you buy a full face CO2 laser treatment at Skintastic. That's over $750 in savings. And Dr. Jeffrey Edelglass and his team of licensed estheticians and medical professionals at Skintastic will take excellent care of you. Inquire about Skintastic's Spring Slim Down by calling 972-620-FACE. That's 972-620-FACE. Skintastic has two locations in Uptown and Plano. Or visit them online at skintastic.com. Skintastic is your beauty realized.